Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have once again come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound, and offering both hope and help for men. And really what it comes down to is we're just sharing our experiences with you. Because we're not professionals. Well, yes, Eric does get paid. He gets three chocolates as he leaves the house every time. He'll do just about anything for chocolate.
That's pretty much right. Oh, that's
anyway,
funny.
So welcome to you guys who are listening. Eric's in the house with me today. We got a topic today that, you know, this we need to get everybody to just listen into this. Then they're going to know exactly what they're supposed to be doing each and every day.
Yeah.
We have a topic that will create all sorts of discussions of many types of, for those who listen. But then again, you know what? We're going to try to clarify a little bit and try and just, you know, here's one of the things I find is that as a man, and before I came to knowing Jesus and got involved in this walk, I thought that I was the only one that ever thought the things I thought, walked the way that I walked, talked the way that I talked, and then I come to realize that I was not alone. There are a lot of guys that thought exactly the same way I thought, but nobody was saying anything.
Yeah, and there is nothing new under the sun.
I know.
You know.
I know. I know that today.
That's part of. That's really an experiential thing that when we come to that realization, you know, plus God's word tells us that. So one of the things we have to do is we have to actually get into God's word to learn things like this. And then when you learn, it's like, well, now it makes sense.
Yes. So that is our main topic. That's where we're going to be hitting it today. But we always like to kind of kick it off with a little bit of encouragement. We started off with some laughter already right off the bat. But, you know, let's get beyond that. Let's get serious now.
Get serious.
Do you have anything for encouraging the guys today?
Well, let's go with some of Eric's screw-ups.
I said we're going to get away from all the laughter. Okay, whatever you want to share.
Well, here's one specifically. I've been married for a while now, and I'm still trying to figure out my wife.
What does that mean, like 40 years, 60 years?
20 plus.
There you go. That's good.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Amen.
Same person?
Same woman. Okay, same woman,
good.
Yep.
All right. It's not accumulative. I can accumulate mine. It's been a very long time. Yes. Okay.
What was I saying?
You were talking about how long you've been married.
Oh, yeah. And I'm still trying to figure my wife out. You know, I don't have it down yet, but we're getting, you know, as we live together, we get to know each other more and more. In fact, you know, you get to the point where you start to finish each other's sentences and you say the same thing at the same time. But still, there are places where there are probably places where I'm still completely clueless, but I don't know about those because I'm still clueless to them. But there are areas where I was completely clueless, and finally I figured something out, and it's like, you know, the big old light bulb goes off, ding, you know, right above your head. And one of the areas was that I realized that my wife wants me to date her. Because I got married and I was of this mindset, well, hey, you know what? It's there we are. I'm married. It's all good to go. I can stop putting forth effort and you know, put my feet up on the easy chair and you know, this is a done deal. And no more effort on my part. And well, you know, that didn't really work out all that well.
Somewhere along the line, it got a little bumpy.
It got a little bumpy. Yeah. And you know, and there, actually it came to a point where we're having a discussion that was, you know, just not one of my favorite discussions of all time, but now looking back on it, it is one of my favorites because it was necessary and I learned something valuable about my wife. You know, what do you want from me? She said, I want you to date me. I'm like, wow, I can do that. You know, and it's not just it's more than just, you know, flowers on Valentine's Day and a box of sugar-free chocolates because you're trying to send some sort of message, you know.
Are you going to eat all those M&Ms?
But it's about really investing in the relationship that we have with our wives. And, right. They, you know, they're not done being courted.
Yes.
Is one of the things that I learned about my wife is she's not done being courted. She wants to be courted on a daily basis to know that I love her and I desire her and I want to actually do things with her and do things for her. You know, just like it would be if we were dating. You know, because we try and we win the heart of that woman while we're dating. Then once we get married, it's like, yes, I win.
Yes, Well, exactly. That's how a lot of guys look at that sort of thing, is that unfortunately, and it's not a conscious thing, but it's kind of like when you are working out, trying to do really well in, let's just say, a track meet, okay, or something that you value and you want to, I want to do this. I want to win this golf tournament. I want to be the best at, you know, whatever it is. You practice, work out, do all the things focused on that, on being able to get that. We do the same thing in our relationship with our wives before we were married, right? Oh, I got to be nice. I got to do this. I got to take her there. I got to show her, tell her all of these things to be able to win her over. And then when the day is that you've asked her to marry you and she says yes, and then all of a sudden you look forward to that, you get that done.
Yeah, you don't even need to make the plans. You just sit back and say, you can take care of that, honey.
Yeah, she's got
whatever invitations you want, just go ahead and order those.
It's kind of that's kind of her day anyway. It's supposed to be that way. You know, you need to be dying to self at the very beginning. That's where I feel like guys on. You just get out of the way, protect her, provide for her, but just let her have her day.
And help her have
most
her day.
Most guys do not think about getting married when they're little kids and little guys, right? And sit there and go, man, I can hardly wait for the day of my wedding day. No, but the little girls do. They're princesses. This is something they look forward to and they talk about for years and years and years. So it's her day. So I say that because what ends up happening on the wedding day, the guy is saying, yes, he's only thinking about a couple of things, right?
A couple. No, just one.
Yeah. And it's not eating the cake afterwards, right? But anyway, the point is that what ends up taking place, unfortunately, is that a mindset after you've had that enjoyment of bonding together and becoming one with the Lord, that all of a sudden, you were trying to win this race and you won the race. They give you a trophy, and what do you do with that trophy? You show it off for a little bit, and then what do you do with it? You put it on the shelf with all the other trophies you've had. That is, unfortunately, the majority of the time what takes place in a lot of marriages, is that, hey, I've won her over. I've got it. Now I don't have to do anything else except just live this new part of life, but I've got her already.
And now that, you know, we've been doing this for so long, it's, you know, you're kind of in a rut, you know, and it's kind of hard to get out of the rut. And sometimes the rut feels comfortable because, you know, the car seems to track straight when you get in the rut, you know. So it can be difficult in this point to want to make those changes, you know. And as men, you know, I'm not the greatest communicator in the world. My wife will attest to that. Yes. But sometimes it's just a real simple conversation, you know. Mm-hmm. Say, honey, I would like to spend more time with you. Can we start a weekly date night? There you go. I mean, you say those words and just see what happens.
There you go. Well, you just need a job where you don't have to work 900 hours a week, and then you'll be all right.
It's only 60.
Okay, whatever. Anyway, so we'll have to tell the producer that the actual title of this show is Dating Your Wife, Knowing Your Wife, and Knowing the Will of God.
Knowing the will of the wife, knowing the will of God.
Yeah, that's your job for today. And so let's segue right into our topic here, because we know some of the guys are sitting there going, come on, when are you going to get into this thing? Well, you know, sometimes knowing the will of your wife might, you might get to know what the will of God is.
Oh, amen.
Anyway, okay. So we have this topic that you wanted to bring up, and of knowing the will of God, and why is it that we need to know the will of God?
Well, because we want to know which direction to go, right? And not only we want to know which direction to go, we want to know what is in the future for us.
Oh, yes.
So that, you know, I don't have to worry about the future. So if God would just tell me what my future is, then I wouldn't have to worry about it so much.
And... But is it really that we want to know what it is so we don't have to worry? Or is it because the more that we know about what our future is, the more we can control it, maybe even make it better than what God had intended?
Hey, that's a good idea.
That's exactly what happens. You know, it's like the more knowledge, more information I have about something, the more I can control it, you know, and that's not what it's about.
You know, this is one of the reasons why I know that God has a sense of humor. Because I'll tell you, you go to God and you tell him what your plans are.
He's going
to
laugh.
He's going to laugh.
He's going to do what we're doing right now. Exactly. So you got to be kidding. You're way off.
Well, you know, a man makes plans for himself, but it's the Lord who directs his steps.
Amen. Amen.
So the whole thing with knowing God's will, you know, we hear from time to time, being inside the church and, you know, Bible studies and talking with men, you know, we hear the things like, I just don't know what God wants for me. I don't know what his will for me is. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we get so caught up in it, you know, it's like, am I supposed to wear the navy blue socks or the black socks? And are your slacks black or are they navy blue? Because you should probably just match your socks to your pants and we'll just call it good, right?
Or no socks at all.
or no socks. You know, just this is Western Washington. We just do the wool socks and sandals thing here. So
not everybody does that. Some of you do. You will not see. Anyway, whatever.
All right. Yeah. What are we talking about?
The will of God. And I think we need to get back on his path. Anyway.
Okay. So when we say, I want to know God's will for me. Well, then that raises the question, well, what do you mean by God's will? Okay. Do you mean,
His
good and perfect will is for you? Mm-hmm. Do you mean what his revealed will for you is, or do you mean what his hidden will is for you? You know, so I mean.
Wait a minute! I didn't know there are all these different wills.
Well, see, that's really the issue, isn't it? You see, but what we really want to know is we want to know what his hidden will is, because we don't want anything, like you said, we don't want anything to be out of our control. If I know what the hidden will is, well, then I can, you know, maybe make a couple adjustments. Maybe I can just go along with it, you know. But we want to know what that hidden will is. And, you know, but the world does too. The world wants to know not necessarily what God's will is, because they don't recognize God for who he is, but they want to know what's coming down the road, right? So what do? We go to astrologers. And we go get our palm read and the tarot cards and the crystal balls. And there's
or
so
have Chinese
different...
food and open up the cooking.
Sorry. Raul, we all know that Chinese fortune cookies don't actually work. Okay.
So anyway, so in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, everyone knows this, but I had to look it up to make sure I said it correctly. In 1 Thessalonians 5, I'll start at 16. It says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, comma, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So there's God's will. That's all there is. I just need to be joyful, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. Then I'll be good, right?
Yeah. That's it.
And I like how you nodded like a no. You say, yep, that's right.
Well, you know, it's funny because I'm looking at that verse and there's actually more to it. You know, because, you know, we got the whole Bible here. And if we look at the rest of the passage, mm-hmm. and it says...
you mean read it in context, you mean?
Right.
Oh, okay.
Be at peace among yourselves. Okay, this is all talking about being in God's will, be at peace among yourselves. Admonish the idle, mm-hmm. encourage the faint-hearted, mm-hmm. help the weak, mm-hmm. be patient with them, mm-hmm. do not repay evil for evil, but seek to do good to one another. And then we get to the rejoice always, yes. pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's, or this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything, hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil.
Amen. So what you're telling me there is that when I read it in context, a little before and a little after, depending on what the Spirit tells you, you're going to get a better idea of what is actually meant there.
That's exactly right. And you can actually go back a little bit further. I don't have it in front of me, but it talks about being in subjection yep. to the authorities that are above us.
Yep. Yep.
You know, so God does tell us what His will for us is in His Word.
Yes.
There's actually lots of places throughout Scripture. It tends to go along these lines about how to walk out this walk
right.
that we're in. You know, without repaying evil for evil, to pray without ceasing. It's about, you know, following Him, trying to through reading His Word, getting mm-hmm. to know who He is. So that my heart starts to get aligned with His heart. And when that happens, then guess what? I start doing the will of God.
Let's do something here, because you mentioned about getting into His Word, okay? And I'm in agreement with that, okay? But does that mean that I need to be carrying this big Bible in my back pocket everywhere I go to look up what God's will is for me in every circumstance in my life?
Of course not,
Raul. We're going to answer that.
We have smartphones. All you have to do is carry your smartphone.
Eric. Lord, it's this co-host you gave me. We're going to take a break. We're going to find out what the answer is that he already gave. He's going to explain that. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Please help us in our effort to encourage and strengthen men across America and around the globe. Make a tax-deductible donation online at faithplace.org. Just click on the About Us page.
Just about nothing is more frustrating than having your internet service go down. And when your service is too slow, that can drive a person crazy. Whether you live in a remote area of the Northwest or in a city, StarTouch Broadband Services is your answer for super quick and reliable service. For almost 20 years, StarTouch has provided high-quality wireless broadband connections on its privately owned microwave and fiber optic network. StarTouch provides both business and residential service across Washington State and is now expanding into Oregon and Idaho, too. Learn more at StarTouch.com.
Lord, we're crying.
Welcome back to the Band of Brothers Radio, Eric and Raul. And you know what? If you've been listening, you have, if you're still listening. You've been listening to us practicing 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Be joyful always. That's what we've been doing. So we've been having a good time. We're going to get serious now.
That's right.
Enough of this joy. Let's get serious on this sort of thing. Okay. Well, truly, what it comes down to in seeking God's will, knowing God's will, that there's more than just one or a few items that is God's will. Sometimes we want to know what God's will is in a, how do I respond to this relationship? How do I look that up in the Bible? Mm-hmm. You know? And it's there, but it isn't going to be under the title of, you know, how should I speak to this person? It might be because of something else that you're going to end up reading. May let you know of how to, maybe that you need to love somebody as Christ loves the church, right? Maybe you need to give them time and be patient with them as He is patient with us. Sometimes we have to wait.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something
I don't know. I don't want to go
no.
with that one. Yeah. We're not going to do the whole waiting
and,
thing.
You know, so there are different aspects of God's will in our lives. You know, we're to be sanctified, okay. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that, that means that you're going to go through a pressure cooker. You're going to go through a hardening. There's going to be some fire, some heat, and there's going to be some cooling. You know. But all of this is necessary to create you into that tool, in a sense. That's just my own adjective, to be used by the Lord to expand his kingdom.
Right, but sometimes we want to know what God's will is so that we can avoid all those things, the pressure yeah, cooker.
Exactly.
The sharpening of
yes,
the chisel,
the heat,
all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, we don't want, it doesn't feel good at the time, right?
That's right.
So we try to avoid it, and hey, maybe if I knew what God's will was, I could just avoid all this stuff. And you know, and the world does the same thing. But you know, really, if God just came and told us what his hidden will for us was, mm-hmm. then what we would have was we would have people that would be looking on and they say, hey, look, see what happens to those Christians, those people when they become Christians? All of a sudden, everything becomes all hunky-dory, peachy-keen, fine, and they know exactly what is in store for their lives. Hey, I'm going to go become one of those Christians so that I don't have any of the troubles that I have right now. Mm. And so what we'd wind up with is a whole bunch of people who are Christians who have absolutely no love for God in their hearts, mm-hmm. And they've come to him not to fill, you know, a hole in their heart, but, you know, maybe to fill a hole in their wallet because yes. they want that security, you know, and that's right. that's part of why we want to know what is coming around the corner.
Right.
Because we want to have that feeling of security. We want to know that we're doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. If everything were just all of a sudden revealed to us, well, then people would be coming to Christ for all the wrong reasons.
Exactly. And the Word of God, you mentioned already the inerrant Word of God that comes from him, that has come to us through others that he used, okay? There's 66 books and a whole lot of people in those books that their experiences and their the way they lived and how they looked to the Lord remind us of how similar we are in a lot of cases, right?
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about last night in a Bible study, and we finished up James, by the way. After a year and 1 month, we actually finished up James. But what it comes down to is that we realize that we have to continually stay in the Word. Because, you know, you're a reader, you've read books, and I'll say even as far as the Bible is concerned, you read it probably the very first time you became a believer. And you probably go over verses years down the road that you've read before, mm-hmm. and if you had any notes next to it of something that was highlighted that meant something to you at that time, you read it again and go, wow, I remember feeling that way, but that's not how I feel about this now. Mm-hmm. It means maybe there's even more depth to it. It has a different meaning, in a sense, in some cases.
Or sometimes I'll read something that I just glossed over before, and then all of a sudden it hits me over the head like a hammer.
Hammer comes right out, boom.
The hammer doesn't actually come right out of the Bible, like you're gesturing, but... But you get the idea. So
right.
Yeah, there is what we have in God's Word is we have His revealed will to us. It's one of the other wills that we talked about at the beginning of the show, because He does reveal a lot about what He would have us do, according to His will. And most of that revealed will is in how we walk out this life that we are in. Ways that actually will keep us from being like the world, because the world repays evil for evil. Well, God says, do not repay evil for evil.
Yes.
The world teaches us to hate our enemies and get revenge, but God says to love your enemies and pray for them, and God says, vengeance is mine.
Right.
I will repay.
Right.
You know, so we get a different mindset when we learn from God's word about how he... who he is,
mm-hmm.
how he deals with men, and how he wants us to deal with men as a reflection of who he is.
You know, one of the things that It may sound like it, and I hope that we're not going there. Maybe I'm just thinking that it does sound like this, is that our God is like having Google. That if I want an answer on something, I just have to Google it on my app, on my phone. Don't even have to go to a computer, right? And just say, okay, or ask Siri.
Or find a YouTube video.
Right, or whatever, and just be able to and go that route, and there, that's it. But like you had said earlier, there is more to it. There's no love for whatever it is that you're looking for online like this, you know. But God wants us to love him. He wants us to desire him. He wants us to be obedient to him, okay, because he wants us to be just like him. Because after all, his word says that he created us in his image, in his image. So that means that we are to be like him. And he says, I am holy, so you need to be holy. Oh, where does it say that? You know,
be Leviticus 11:44.
I am perfect. Okay. So I guess my point being is that sometimes we can look at this and say, okay, but I understand that the word of God will show me through his word that what his will is. Okay. But what about when I'm talking with somebody and I need to make a decision, or, you know, something is brought to me. I can't necessarily, I don't have that accessible to me to be able to just open up my Bible. I wouldn't know where to look and stuff like that. So I want to, you know, some application here in a sense for guys to be able to know that it's not about necessarily wait until you get home to get to your Bible to look it up. We have, this is what I love about it. The simple fact is that we have access to communicating with him at any time. It isn't just about his word is the only way of knowing it. That is a way. Another one is communicating with him. And that comes through prayer.
Right. I love the way C.S. Lewis talks about prayer. He says that I don't pray in order to change God's mind about something. I pray in order to change my mind about God. Which is, you know, because God is unchanging, right?
Yes.
I can
the same today, yesterday, tomorrow.
Amen. And I am so thankful for that, because I know that I'm not going to have, you know, some fickle God who today is kind, but tomorrow will be brutal. You know, but because he is unchanging, when you know, when I go to him, it's, you know, he's a good, perfect, loving God. So when we go to him in prayer, it's really about, you know, we can talk about what it is that, that we desire, what it is that, that we want, and bring to him our prayers and our petitions, you know, but not those things all don't always line up with God's will, you know, but we can go ahead and bring them. But as we do that, as we are in communion with God through prayer, that's one of the ways that he changes our hearts to be like his heart.
Amen.
Because it says in God's word that that he will give us the desires of our hearts. Well, if the desire of my heart is for wickedness, you know, he's not going to give me that desire, you know. But if my heart has been, you know, through prayer and through the reading of his word to learn who he is, if my heart has been changed to be a brighter reflection of what his heart is, and then I ask him for something according to that, well, then, you know, of course he's going to be willing to grant that prayer.
Right. And the reality is that we're a new creation in Christ each and every day. From the time that if we've gone to him with a heart that is broken and willing to let him heal it and mend it and mold it into what he wants in me, when we get to that place of saying, I want you, Lord, I want you to be my Savior, but I also want you to be my Lord, okay? Now, all of a sudden, what ends up taking place is that's what I'm seeking. That's what becomes my priority in life, okay? No, not that I have to stay at home, not go to work, because I'm sorry, boss, I can't make it in today. I have to stay here at home and realize what God wants me to be doing today. And I'm not sure if it means coming to work or not. You're going to lose your job if that's your attitude, right?
Right.
But the simple fact is that, but he becomes most important, but we communicate, we talk with him. If something, if you wanted to know what your someone is thinking, you don't all of a sudden just sit there and just start wondering what they're thinking. You may do that, but you're probably going to be wrong. You want to know what they're thinking. You're going to ask them.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me what you're thinking right now? We do that with our wives. Our wives do that with us, right? What are you thinking about? You know, you don't want to know what I'm thinking about, right? Or, you know, if you want to be honest with her, or you can just explain because she's wanting to know. And it's the same thing here. Lord, what is it that you want me to do in this situation? Right. And, you know, we can ask and ask and ask in prayer, but we have to be willing to wait and be willing to listen. But then, see, now you're bringing
up. But that's, yeah, I'll tell you, sometimes we don't get that answer.
That's right.
You know, and we do know from God's word that he has told us, you know, to be thankful in all things, to pray without ceasing. You know, he's given us these things that he wants us to do. And as we go through life and do them, sometimes he'll just open up the door for us and we step through and we have entered into his will without even realizing it. And sometimes the opposite happens where God will close a door that we thought, hey, I'm supposed to be going through this door, but God will close it. I mean, if you go to the book of Acts, Paul and Timothy, they wanted to go through Asia to preach the gospel, mm-hmm. but it says that God's stopped them yes. from doing that.
Yes.
They thought, hey, you know what? It's God's will that we go to Asia and preach the gospel. Well, God stopped them from doing it.
Yep.
You know, and sometimes that's how God will deal with us. That may happen to us all the time. We don't even realize it.
Right.
You know?
We just think, as they thought, this is my heart's desire. Okay? So obviously it's a good thing. God would be pleased and have his hand of protection over us. And instead, they got the wall instead. Okay? Let's take a break, but I just wanted to just read this because I thought it was very cool. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says in verse 4, all right, let's start in 3. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Be all that God designed you to be. Band of Brothers Radio reminds you to check the For Men Only tab at faithplace.org for daily tips on becoming better husbands and fathers.
You know what I love to smell? I love to smell a ham baking in the oven, or bacon sizzling in that skillet. Ooh, or maybe some German sausage roasting on the grill. You know what I don't love? I don't love to read the weird ingredients listed on the back of most of those packages of meat. Who needs that junk? That stuff is about as useful as a back pocket on your t-shirt. When it comes to your family's health, it's time for you to fish or cut bait. You need to start buying your hams, bacon, and sausage from a quality supplier like Hempler's Meats. Hempler's uses the finest of ingredients, like old-fashioned natural casings and all-natural spices. Plus, Hempler's products contain no fillers. To place your order, go to Hemplers.com.
When you need a lasting remembrance of a loved one, you can spend thousands of dollars on an engraved monument, benchmarker, keepsake urn, or flag case. Or you could get the exact same engraved monument at a far lower cost from Cascade Monuments. Right now, explore even bigger savings during Cascade Monuments' anniversary event. Cascade Monuments ships throughout the United States and Canada. Shop online at cascademonuments.com.
The same power that rose Jesus from the grave. The same power that commands the dead to wake lives in us. Lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks. The same power that can call the raging sea lives in us. Lives in us.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. Eric and Raul, we're here. We're talking about God's will. And if you didn't miss the first part, you missed the whole thing. And we're not going to repeat it.
It's God's will that they go get the podcast.
Oh, gosh. I just want to make sure there is a podcast right now.
Am I going to get struck for that one?
I don't know. I'm getting away from the window.
You're sitting awfully close to me. You might want to step back a little bit.
The window there so the glass doesn't fly. Anyway, so we read this one part here in 1 Timothy, that this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. And the truth is what he is giving to us. He gives it through his inerrant word of God, right?
Amen.
Another way he gives it to us, it would be?
Well, through the people that he's placed in our lives, through wise counselors.
Wait, you mean if I don't like being around other people, that I'm in trouble then?
Well, I would say yeah, because we are designed to be we're designed to be in communion and in community. The idea of a Lone Ranger Christian is found nowhere in Scripture. We are, you know, we are to be in fellowship. Right. And, you know, if I have, you know, some sort of question as to, you know, am I supposed to go this direction,
right,
or am I supposed to go the other direction, or am I supposed to just keep going the way that I'm going? You know, I have some guys that I can talk to in my life and say, hey, you know, I'm just not really sure. And I just like to, you know, to see what you think about this,
mm-hmm,
you know, I would seek out the godly people in my lives, the people who through the years of walking with God have learned to test and see, you know, what the will of God is, and, you know, and be able to get wise counsel from them. And not just one. I can talk to, you know, more than one person, because what was that proverb that?
I think there is wisdom in a multitude of counselors.
Right.
And so meaning that the more people that I actually confide in and ask about certain areas, that you're going to get that many different looks at the same thing. It's kind of like reading a commentary in your study Bible. Okay, you read the notes at the bottom, that's a commentary, right? And you get an idea of what that person believes this verse is saying.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you really want to stretch it a little bit, you buy another book that is just a commentary about that or what the Bible says, and read what that that individual says about that verse. And now you're going to get a better idea of what that might be. You may find different, you know, night and day.
Yeah, there may be completely different interpretations of what the word is saying there. And we might get completely different ideas of, you know, from the counselors of where we want to go.
Right.
And that's where, you know, a multitude of counselors is helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and we can you know, take all this to prayer and say, you know, and ask for God's help in revealing of what it is that he would have us do. You know, am I supposed to stay here and you know, continue doing what I'm doing? Or, God, do you want me to go to India?
Yes.
You know?
Wait a minute. No, I'm not ready for that.
I'm thinking of that old, was it Larry Norman? Please don't send me to Africa.
All right. Well, so often, once again, the fact is of knowing God's will, okay, I get it. That if I read his word, now should I just open the Bible up anywhere and say, okay, God, I'm just going to open it up and what your will be done so I can read that pages or whatever it is on those two sides, right?
Well, I mean, you can try that.
So
you might.
So in an application in real life, if I'm looking for something, let's just say I am upset with somebody, okay? How would I find out whether, you know, I should be, if I'm rational in my feeling toward this individual, how would I find something like that in the Bible? What would I look up? I mean, what do I do? It doesn't just, you know, say if you have an argument with someone.
Well, that's a tough question, because, you know, I can either send people to, like what you were saying, with commentaries and, you know, you can Google it, you know, what does the Bible say about whatever, but, you know, I would be more apt to go back to this, wise counselors, because we have friends,
mm-hmm,
you know, and brothers in Christ who, you know, are to whatever degree familiar with the Bible, whether it be just a little bit, or maybe they're completely versed in the Bible, you know, and
so,
we can seek other people and what they know.
So in doing so, what they end up telling me, what I understand you're saying, Okay, I'm just kind of doing a little role-playing here, is that as a result of seeking them, they're going to give me maybe a story from the Bible that has a reflection of what I'm going through, in a sense?
That's one of the things. Okay. Yeah, it could be a story which is similar to your situation. It could or has an analogy to your situation, or
right.
It could just be flat out, this is what God's will is.
Here's the verse, and this is what it is.
Yeah, if a man is struggling with his sexual purity, mm-hmm. Somebody comes to me, he's struggling with his sexual purity. Says, does God really want me to be sexually pure? Well, I can go right to 1 Thessalonians, where it says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just, bam.
Plain and simple.
There it is.
Mm-hmm.
And other times it's, like you were saying, I might be able to get something from the life of Joseph.
And that's that really depends on the individual you're talking to. And that's why when you come with a multitude, more people, more than one person in an area, that you're willing to share something that you want help with, okay? And you overcome those barriers that are held up there, and you seek these people out. You may get someone that's going to go directly to a verse, but then you may have someone else who the way that they give their wisdom is by having you find it through a story, okay? As an example, the same thing that you had just given, somebody may just say, why don't you read the story about King David and Bathsheba and see if if anything stirs in your heart when you read this part of the Bible, okay? And now it's you and the Lord, and you're mm-hmm. reading it, and all of a sudden you may get something that is huge, and you're going to get something as long as you follow direction.
Amen. Yeah. Well, that brings up a good point in that not everybody, thinks alike. Like for one person, they might like the direct sayings of God, like that one from Thessalonians. Other people may respond better to stories in the Bible. When I'm driving somewhere, mm-hmm. I like to know which road to turn at.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I want to know that I have to turn right on Slater Road,
yes.
Whereas some people might say, well, when you see the red barn, go another couple hundred yards and turn right there.
Yeah.
We think differently about things. And sometimes, if the directions that I need are, turn right at Slater Road.
In seeking, again, direction is so funny. I think of back in the day on Mayberry RFD, back in what's his name, the little guy?
Andy Griffith.
Andy Griffith and all that.
And
they had
Howard.
A guy on there named Gomer, right? That was or
surprise,
whatever.
Surprise,
yeah.
Surprise.
Well, I'll never forget, I laugh about this. I used to use it all the time. He was talking with a couple of the older guys in town, and they're talking about making a decision. He said, this is what you do. Is you spit in the palm of your hand, and he spit in the palm of his hand, and he says, put your fist over and slap down. In whatever direction the spit goes, that's the direction you go. And I got to tell you, there was a time in my life where that's basically what I did. I said, okay, that must be the way I need to go. Now, that's absurd, okay? In hindsight, I look back, I can laugh about that sort of thing, but there was all seriousness because I wanted to know. I want somebody to tell me, give me the easy way.
Well, can't God direct the spit?
Well, see, once again, if I'm seeking to do God's will, I'll probably end up realizing that there are different ways of being able to seek his will, okay? And that's the beautiful thing about our relationship with him. Is that he's serious about our sanctification, about our doing what his will is, because his will is for us to be able to give away freely what we've received freely from him.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way doing that is to secure the fact that these people, Eric and Raul, are knowing what it is I want them to be doing so that they can share that with other men so that they would be able to be encouraged and exhorted and realize that they're not alone in this walk. So we be transparent, talk about all of our challenges. We talk about our fears. We talk about all the everything that goes in line with that. But ultimately, what we end up talking about is how Jesus is changing our lives. And when that starts to happen, many more blessings start to come. And then I believe we're doing what his will is, you know, to take care of the orphans and the widows and to be able to lift your brothers up who seem to be going a different track and saying, hey, can I help you, brother? Can I help you know, can I pray for you? Can I be able to give? When I start seeking God above all things, first and foremost, and I start thinking of others more highly than myself, okay, I'm going to be doing what God's will is, okay?
Amen. Because, you know, often our eyes are off to the left and off to the right because we want to know, is this the way that I should go or this the way should I go? Yeah. I go, when really our eyes should be firmly focused on Jesus and his cross and the good news that he has saved us by his blood.
Amen.
When we abide in him, when we remain in him because of the work that he has done, it's going to draw us to his will.
Yes. Psalm 143, verse 10. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. So what you want is you want him to be able to make your path straight and smooth so that you can actually, and it may not be because there's going to be a foe that's out there to try to, you know, make you stumble. But you know what? There is greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. And
Amen.
That's the one you want to seek all the time.
And when that will seems hidden to us, we can rest in the assurance that, you know, God is in control of all things. He is completely sovereign over everything. Yes. And we don't have to, you know, worry the way the world does.
The way they want us to worry.
That too.
How about you pray for our brothers?
Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you that that we are in Christ and Christ is in us. God, I pray that our focus truly would be on the work of Jesus on the cross for us, that we would pursue you in holiness. In Jesus' name, amen.